It is Good Shepherd Sunday when we think about vocations and the Chief Shepherd. It's also Mother's Day weekend. Both are vocations and both are linked to sacraments, at least essentially. But we can't place this all together unless we go back to Aristotle. Aristotle was the first person to give us the four causes. The who, the what, the how, and the why of everything that exists. Two causes are internal, two are external. Take, for example, a building. A building has two causes that make it be what it is, that are internal. One's the form, it's not a shed, it's a house, and what it's made of is bricks. There's two external causes. One's the builder, and one's the reason why he's building it, to make a profit. So everything that exists, whether it's candle, ourselves, whatever, the sprig of flower given to you as you came in, has four causes. A who, a what, a how, and a why. Which is the most important, I wonder? I think you can answer that. Anyway, Aristotle, who gave us that insight in causality, a part of metaphysics, and let's apply it now to the church to understand the important role of maternity and paternity. What is the cause, the efficient cause of the church? Who created the church? The triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Why did God create the church? Why did he create? For our salvation. Not for his, but for ours. Go from here to there, from earth to heaven. By what means? How does that come about? Through grace. And grace is given by means of the sacraments, of which the first is baptism, hence the reference in the Acts of the Apostles. You must be baptized to enter into God's family. And what is the church? Well, it's a divine institution that's actually a royal family. A royal family because Christ is the king, Mary is the queen mother, and heaven is a kingdom. It is an institution, it's not human though, it's divine. And therefore has always been since Christ and will always be. And if you look at empires coming and going or governments, the church has always been there. Be it good or bad, ugly or beautiful, in a worldly sense, it's still there and always shall be. And that's because Christ has promised us that there'd be a Pope on earth, a Shepherd on earth, to connect us to the Chief Shepherd, the Good Shepherd, who is Christ in heaven. And today it's Pope Francis. The other day we saw Pope John Paul canonised of recent memory. So the papacy is still there, focusing us, so that we might remain faithful to the teachings of the Lord. And that's what paternity is. Fatherhood is guiding and protecting. And that's why we need priests to give us the sacraments to make sure that what Christ has entrusted to his church is ongoing. And in this diocese, we don't have a crisis of vocations, thanks be to God, because of the insight that Bishop Brennan, now deceased, had in establishing a seminary, of which over 20 have been trained for this diocese, and some have gone to other dioceses. And let us boast of those who have been ordained from Bianni College in Wagga, two now bishops in Australia, one to be bishop or consecrated next month in Forbes. So that's quite a unique achievement, and who knows how many other bishops may come from this small diocese and seminary. So there's a collection today at the end of Mass to help with the education of priests. Behind all this reality is the important task of paternity, as I said, in guiding, protecting, safeguarding God's people. And that's what a shepherd does. And it's a personal role. Hence the implication when our Lord says, the voice, the sheep know the shepherd. And he calls them by name. It's personal, isn't it? God loves us not as a group, a collective whole, as the parish of Holy Spirit. He loves us as individuals. And that comes out at the very moment of baptism, when we're brought into the family of God, the royal family. I baptise someone by their name. Their name, they're called by God. Not as a boy or a girl, a man or woman, but by a name. It's personal, it's intimate, it's heart to heart. And that's how God's family actually works. Within this context, we have also the role of maternity, because the church is our mother. It's modelled on Mary, and that's the feminine dimension, or the Marian dimension, within the church. The church has always been the bride of Christ. He's the groom, the nuptials, Calvary, that he gave us from his side, his bride. As the first bride, Eve came from the side of Adam, she came from the wounded, dead side of the Lord. And she is our mother, who feeds us, who cares for us, who nurtures us. Both of these roles, maternity and paternity, which are real and tangible in the church, are under attack. They're under attack from a source of lies, a source that doesn't love the truth, and therefore they're often pulled down in the media. We need to assert the importance of paternity and maternity, not just in the church, but in our society, and safeguard what we've been given. And realise this very important fact. This is all you remember from tonight. That will be of great value. Maternity and paternity, fatherhood, motherhood, are vocations, not jobs. It's who you are that matters in this life and the next, not what you do. And that was lost in our modern society because we're a materialistic, money-focused, success society. Our education system is all geared towards dollars, profit, expenditure, making money, doing money, spending money. And we forget that at the end of the day, your career, your employment is one thing. Who you are is another. And every funeral gives testimony to that. They don't come because you were once a builder or a bricklayer. They come because of who you are or were.
A few years ago, I had the privilege of knowing this woman and a man. He was a farmer, but she had been a nurse, a policewoman, and become a teacher. Then I baptised their first child, and I said a few months after I saw them, how's it going? Which job are you balancing now? And she said, the most important one, Father. I said, what's that? Motherhood. And how true that is. Once you become a mother, even if your child's adopted or dies, you're always a mother, always a father. You never cease being a mother or father. You do cease being a plumber, a politician, a policeman, a teacher. Those are jobs. It's your employment. It's true, it's important, but it's a career. It's what you do. It's not who you are. That's so much more important, your role of who you are. And that's why we should make a big deal about Mother's Day and Father's Day, because we're not celebrating a job or a form of employment, but the very essence of vocational life. For the majority of people in the church are called to marriage, therefore maternity and paternity. And therefore we need to foster this and promote it in whatever way possible. Because we're losing sight of that as being something of value. And once we lose sight of maternity or paternity, we've lost sight of our future, because that is the cause of family life and the fabric of society. One person who promoted that throughout his life and was a great shepherd was John Paul. John Paul II, thou perhaps the great, is a saint in heaven. Born in 1920, he lost his brother at the age of 12. After losing his mother at the age of 9, he became motherless on earth, and then at the age of 21, fatherless, and yet became a father to millions on earth. Fascinating, isn't it? How God can take one and yet give the other. For some strange reason, he'd been prepared from a very young age for the role that was awaiting him. At the age of 58, he became Pope for 27 years of the Church. Visited 100 countries, went to the moon and back and travelling around the world. He was the most photographed person on earth and had the largest funeral. 3 million attended his funeral. People from all over the world came to him. Why? Because he was the epitome of a good father. He protected his people. He loved his people. He travelled for his people. And in the end, he suffered with Parkinson's for his people. And God must have a sense of humour, because the irony was, the first miracle accredited to him was the healing of a nun who had Parkinson's disease, the very same illness that took him to his grave. What a great man he was. And behind his greatness are many writings, of which several great texts are still with us on the role of motherhood
and maternity, and how we must cherish it and foster it in our modern age. Let me conclude for mothers, because our mothers are not just special. You know, some things can be special.
You don't get a special deal buying this or that car.
Special doesn't cut the ice with regard to Mother's Day. Mothers are unique. Unique in the sense you only have one. Be she living or dead, we owe her. We owe her a debt tomorrow, beginning with tonight. We ought to thank her, express our gratitude towards her, and cherish her in some means.
Our little token gesture of flowers prepared by the Legion of Mary and Holy Spirit School, Maria has a little bookmark.
These are gestures of what we think of you, that you are unique, that we are privileged to know you, and we pray for you.
These words were written just under 20 years ago by John Paul II, a saint in heaven, to all mothers on earth.
He says, part of the daily heroism is also the silent but effective and eloquent witness of all those brave mothers who devote themselves to their own family without reserve, who suffer in giving birth to their children, and who are ready to make any effort to face any sacrifice in order to pass on to them the best of themselves. These Christian wives and mothers have borne and continue to bear outstanding witness in the world today. He goes on, we thank you, heroic mothers, for your invincible love. We thank you for your intrepid trust in God and in his love. We thank you not for what you do, but who you are. May God bless you.
Praise to Jesus Christ.